passage from the Bible called the Prayer of Jabez. Am I going to show of hands if anyone has heard of Jabez? Okay, awesome. So that means you guys will be extremely attentive tonight because you're going to tell us all about Jabez. So it's a 5-week series pretty much based on these two verses, boys. So it's a 5-week series based on these two verses, and we're going to be going in order of exactly what the verse says. And so the first week is the first part of Jabez's prayer, which is, bless me. So yeah, we can all pass over onto David. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, everybody. Okay, I think I might have misunderstood the topic. Yeah, it'd be fine. But I guess, let me go through. Who's next? Good. All right, you can just play off. Right,
okay.
I understood that you wanted to talk about the blessing. Fine. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. When you pray, so the topic is the prayer of David, but before we do that, when we pray, how do we pray? What do we seek when we pray? Can you, say, rattle off a few things that you might say when you pray to the Lord? Yeah?
Blessings.
Yeah, blessings. That's a good one. Yes. What else would you say? Yes.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. What else would you say in prayer? Yeah.
I'd pray for other people.
Yep. Am I on that list? I hope so. What else would you do when you pray? Oh, what else would you pray about, rather? Sorry. Yeah. Asking for things, correct? Yeah.
Praise God.
Praising God, yes. Exactly. Anything else? Yep.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness? I think you said that, right? That's okay.
Sorry.
Pray for double forgiveness. Yeah. Faith. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think they said thanks for you.
Yeah. Nothing to pay attention.
Anything new, unsaid? I think we've covered the majority. And I'm actually quite pleased because typically we often pray for the things that are very materialistic. And we tend to overlook the things that are spiritual. But most of you guys said the spiritual stuff and very little around the spiritual, materialistic things. So we're going to talk about a person called Jabez. He's from the Old Testament. He's listed in Chronicles. And so let's... Mark, have you got a Bible next to you? First Chronicles. Chapter 4, verse 10. That's where the prayer of Jabez comes from. First Chronicles, Old Testament.
Yeah. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested.
That's it. That's the prayer of Jabez. Missed it. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain." And the answer was, so God granted him what he requested. That was his prayer. Some of the recent Bible writers, so contemporary writers, they use this prayer as they describe it as a fast track to get what you want. And typically that's because when we read it, we hear that there's a lot of blessings, a lot of richness poured upon him. He received what he asked for. And they say that It's more around the, if you want to be a successful person in your work or your university or your home life, use this prayer as a guide. And I think it just needs to be clarified that it's not a fast track. It's not going to think. Sometimes things take a long time to develop, and you can't simply just use a set of words and expect answers. Let's take a bit of background behind the book and also the character. So we're not 100% sure who wrote 1st and 2nd Chronicles, but everybody believes, the our church believes, that it was written by Ezra the priest. Now, that's the Ezra who wrote also the book of Ezra, and also which includes the story about Nehemiah. Do you know, who knows what happens around that time? Does anyone know about what happens around Nehemiah's time and Ezra's time? Okay, we'll dive into it. The books were written, I'm sorry I'm using paper because it's too much to apply to my brain. Got enough stuff in there, so I have to put it on paper. So please apologize for reading off the paper. So the books were written after the Jews had returned home from many exiles outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem was conquered by the king, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And many of the brightest minds, who went to Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar?
Daniel.
And his three young men. So Nebuchadnezzar took the brightest and the best minds from Judah, and he took them to Babylon, and they dwelt in Babylon while Jerusalem was being pillaged and burned. So eventually Nebuchadnezzar was defeated, or the Babylonians were defeated, and the Jews returned to Jerusalem. So when they arrived in Jerusalem, they were very sad. It's described that they were bittersweet. They had the sweetness of being back in their home country, in their promised land, and then the sadness of the fact that Jerusalem was a shadow of what it was before. So Ezra began to write for them the Chronicles, and he wanted to establish their identity. He says he wanted to say where you've come from and who you are. So he started off in Chronicles 1. He said, this is the family of Adam. So he lists Adam's genealogy, or the chronology of characters from the from Adam through to the whole of the tribe of Israel. So he starts with Adam, and he goes from Adam to Seth to Abraham. The second, he talks about the family of Israel. The third chapter, he talks about the 12 tribes of Israel. The third and fourth chapter, he talks about David, King David. And in the fourth chapter, which we read the prayer of Jabez, he talks about Judah. And then he keeps going. And how many chapters does he list out? He lists out 9 chapters for these people. He lists out 9 chapters for the Jews to say where you came from, who you are connected to, and why you are important to God. And let's... It needs to be put in context, the prayer of Jabez. So, who's going to read? Pete, can you please read? This is going to be a bit of a tongue twister, because now we're going to read, we're not going to read anything quite as full on as from the first Chronicles, but we're going to read about 12 chapters of chapter 4. And there's something missing here. Usually there's something here that we will talk about, we'll ask about. But the secret to this chapter, or one of the parts of this chapter that's quite interesting, is something is missing. So the character here is who? Jabez. The character is Jabez. Alright?
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chapter 4, right?
I apologise for Peter in advance. Yeah. We'll find out why.
Oh yeah, I know why. The sons of Judah were Perez. The sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Hagarit. And Shobab. And
it's not important to get the names right, but
and Ah, the son of Shobal begot Jahagat, and Jay begot A and L. These were the families of Zeb. These were the sons of the father of Eve, Jezreel, Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of the sister was Hench. And Penuel was the father of Gedor, and Ezra was the father of Hush. These are the sons
of... You
want
me to read?
Huh?
You alright? You want me to read?
Yeah, if you want.
You look like you're hurting yourself. Okay. So, you end up... And Ezra was the father of Hushab. And there were sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrath, and the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nara. Nara bore him Azazum, Hefer and Temni and Hastari. And these were the sons of Nara. The sons of Hela were Zeth, Zor, and Kethin. And Koz begot Anub, Zoeba, and the families of Ahmaril, and the sons of Haram. Now, we're up to chapter 9. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brother, and his mother, his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Then verse 11. So Shelah, the brother of Shusha, begot Meher, who was the father of Eshton, and Eshton begot Beth Rath, Pasa, and Teninah, the father of Ir Nashha, and these were the men of Resha. Now, does anyone notice what was missing there?
We have no idea.
Other than a lot of confusing names. So we talked about a genealogy. Right? We talked about a genealogy. Jabez was not mentioned. Did you notice that? Jabez, we're listing out Judah. The tribe of Judah. The genealogy. And somewhere in between... The writer, Ezra, just says, stop, hang on, going to stick Jabez in here, okay, talk about him briefly, and then keep going. And he has no context. There's no context. He could have slotted in anywhere in the Bible. But this is where it was put. And it is significant in that, and we'll come to that. But so, Jabez. So let's think about the significance of the fact that he was not part of a family that was referenced. So who was Jabez? He's only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. 2 times we just read it. And the first time was earlier in Chronicles number 2, and that was the name of a town. So this guy was out of obscurity. He came into the Bible. And the fact that... And then Jabez means that he causes pain. So we can assume... that's something about his birth that was exceptionally more painful than usual. And typically the name is given to a Jewish boy at the time of their circumcision. So if his mum gave him the name, got to the 8th day, she must have been in a great deal of pain to say, your name, buddy, is going to be Jabez and you're going to grow up like that. So that's something that was a significance in the Old Testament. A person's name had great meaning with it. Right there? Right. Person's name had great meaning. So, we talk about Abraham, father of many, Jacob, the supplanter, the remover. We talk about Jabez, and we say that his name had meaning and it was to be fulfilled. So it seemed like he had a hopeless name. He was going to have a dysfunctional life. But he became a man who fervently prayed and called on the power of God. So he prayed with boldness. Where do we think he got this boldness of spirit from? It says here that he was more honored. He was more honorable than his brothers. So he came from a family that was honorable. It wasn't as if he was, the best in the worst. He was out of a family. You can imagine the Pope coming out of a family of monks. You know, almost like that. Okay. So who was Jabez? By putting ourselves in his place of the original reader, or at the time, we can learn a lot about the genealogy, like the one in which Jabez is mentioned. So the writer of the Chronicles used the list of names to show how God has chosen Israel for a prominent role in history. And he wanted to encourage those who had returned from exile, that while they were struggling to rebuild a nation, these names show that God accomplished the purpose from Adam through to Judah, and these people, the tribe of Judah and the nation of Israel, had a plan for God. And God had a purpose for Israel, and that purpose, and the same purpose for Jabez. And he wanted to bless Jabez. So the question then, I guess, is to you guys, do you know, or do you believe that God has a plan for you? Just like he has a plan for Jabez, and regardless of the name that his mum gave him, regardless of the circumstances he was in, God still blessed him. He reached out and he blessed him. Father Anthony Messia, who was at the retreat last week for the servants' meeting, he talked about relationships, as we briefly discussed. And one of the... after the talk, there was a couple of questions, and one of them was about... he talked about not letting your friends get in the way of God's plan for you. Don't let your relationships, if they hinder you from coming to know God, don't let that be a hindrance. Don't let friends and relationships be a hindrance to get to know God. So one of the youth after asked him, well, what is God's plan for me? And I thought this was quite telling. It was a lovely point. So he picked up a Bible. He said, "This Bible." Same as you know the Bible. He said, "This Bible." Thanks, Dan. I can sign it for you. He said, "This Bible. If you want to know what God's plan for you, this Bible has 99% of your plan. Your plan in my life, in this world, is in this Bible. 99%. He said the other 1% that we labor over so much, like what course am I going to do, which partner am I going to marry, what career am I going to worry to get in. He said that's 1% of our life. He said if you really want to know what God's plan is for you, read the Bible. It's in here," he says. And I thought, you know, exactly, we always struggle to seek what our plan is for, God's plan is for in our life. And it's right in front of us. We just need to open the cover and read. So we know about Jabez. Let's try and dissect his prayer. And we won't dissect it too much, particularly for the last three parts, because it's going to be covered for the next 3 weeks. Okay. So it's covered in four different points. And this chapter is talking about the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah is one of the most important tribes of of the 12 tribes. And in the middle of the 12 tribes, in the middle of the genealogy of Judah, we talk about Jabez. So, we're not told upon what Jabez was more honourable. He just said that he was more honourable than his brethren or brothers. And we find out, we find that he was a praying man. And the way to be truly great is to seek to do God's will and plan to pray earnestly. Here is the prayer that he made. Jabez prayed to the living God, the true God, who alone can hear and answer prayers, and in prayer he regarded him as the God in covenant with his people. So he doesn't say that you are my God, you are the God of my people, we are in a covenant and we rely on you, Lord Jesus, or on the God of Israel. He assumes that, and then he says, he does not express this promise, but he leaves it to be understood, and he was afraid to promise out of his own strength. He didn't say, I will give you everything, God, I will put my trust in you. He just assumes that we have a relationship already, God. You have a relationship with Abraham, and I'm a descendant of Abraham, so therefore I have a relationship with you. So the four parts of Jabez's prayer, the first one he asks him to bless him. The second one, he asks God to enlarge his territory or increase his responsibility. Third, he prays to God to be with him and stay close to him. And lastly, Jabez asks God to keep him from harm and that he'll be free from pain, which is that association that he has. So let's just quickly go through the four points. He asked that God would bless him, and that blessing will bless me greatly, and that you will bless me greatly, and that with the manifold abundant blessings. And we said perhaps he had an eye or an understanding of the promise that he had to Abraham, that he said to Abraham, blessing I will bless thee, that he will be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. So the spiritual blessings are, as we talked about in the beginning when we asked for prayer, the spiritual blessings are the best blessings. And those who are blessed indeed, who are blessed with them, God's blessings are the real things, produce real effects, but we can but wish a blessing and he commands it. And those whom he blesses are blessed indeed. So actually, Jabez says, and the writers, some of the early church writers actually focus on this, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. So he's really opening up his heart, saying rather than in terms of just reciting words, he has a relationship with God. The second point, he says, can you enlarge my coast or enlarge my territory? We'll talk about this probably in the next talk, but it states that when we say, can I have a bigger parcel of land? Can I have larger property? Can I have more possessions? Jabez wasn't necessarily asking about that. I was thinking a bit more and reading a little bit into this. And at the same time, I was sitting in my study and looking around my wall, and there's pictures of my family. And I thought to myself, well, that's it. That's me enlarging my coast, broadening my territory. This is my family. So, in actual fact, while it sounds like he's seeking to be more abundant in his possessions, in actual fact, he's asking for more influence and more people around him that love him. And then the third point, he asks, so that the hand, that God's hand might be with him. And the prayer of Moses for this tribe of Judah was that his own hands might be sufficient for him. In Deuteronomy it says that. That his own hands might be sufficient for him. But Jabez expects not that this be the case, but he wants the presence of God in his life to lead him, protect him, and strengthen him. And indeed, God's presence is more than enough. And the fourth point would be he says, can you keep me from evil, from sin, and the evil desires of my enemies, that they might not hurt me, nor grieve me, nor make him a Jabez indeed, or a person of sorrow. And actually, when we pray, the Our Father, we say the same thing. Our Father who art in heaven, and deliver me from evil. So Jabez, in actual fact, in his name, he asked also for deliverance from evil. So we assume that this little prayer that Jabez wrote is a fast track to success, but we forget that he lived a life. His whole life was summarized in these three chapters, slotted into the middle of the tribe of Judah, and somewhere in the genealogy of from Adam to the tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. So we wonder how do we get the same passion that Jabez has? We say, how many prayers a day will it take for us to feel something of God's presence? How long does our prayer have to be to feel something at the end of it? How long do we actually have to fast before we feel like we've received something from God? How many masses do we need to attend to feel something, to be moved? And how much service do we need to do to feel something or anything? And the answer to this, whilst it sounds simple, the action is quite difficult. The answer is that we need to seek God with our whole heart. So let's just take a few seconds to understand, what does it mean to have a whole heart? If I say to you, you need to seek God with a whole heart. If you want to meet Him, if you want to feel something in Mass, if you want to feel something in your prayer, if you want to feel something in your fast, you need to give Him your whole heart. What would, if you take a second or two to think, in your life, what would a whole heart mean to you? God's people through the Old Testament were continually coming closer and falling back. Coming closer, falling back. And this was what really upset the Lord. He says in Exodus, and the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and they indeed are a stiff-necked people. And again he says, nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffen their necks like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. And in Hosea he says, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none of them exalt Him. So then David responds, King David. So we can ask, whose heart was the closest? Was King David's. David the shepherd boy. And he says, praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And he says also, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. And then Jeremiah, who later comes later in the Bible, he says, then I will give them a heart to know me. This is what we're after. We're seeking to know God. That I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. So the key that's being spelt out through the Bible is a whole heart. We talk about Jabez and his relationship with God. Four or five verses slotted into the genealogy of Judah, out of nowhere, gets a reference in the Bible. It's his whole heart that he has applied to God. Now this is my favorite, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's in Jeremiah 29. And this is after, this is the Lord stretching out his hand for his people. He says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon my name and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. So beautiful is that verse. He, the Lord our God, is seeking us. And all he asks for us is a whole heart, which I said sounds very easy. It sounds very easy. All he wants is a whole heart. Jabez had this whole heart. The Lord wants this whole heart. It sounds so simple. The question is, how do we put it into our life? Everyone probably would have heard at one point in time, Abuna Augustinos's description of our life. He says it's like a cake. Does anyone remember this one? He said, Abuna says, our life is like a cake. So what does the Lord ask of us in our life? What's our tithe? What is it? What's our tithe? What's our 10%. So he says, do we want to give God 10% and we've got the rest of the 90% to do what we want? Does that seem fair? And then the Abuna goes, actually, no, that's not right. God doesn't want 10%. The cake is life. How you deal with it, how you divide up your time is yours, but the cream in the middle of it is God. So, whatever you do, however you split your time, you've got God in the middle of it, or through it, then that's how you divide, that's how you give yourself to God. That's the whole heart. The whole cake is God's, but the whole time is yours. So, God is so keen to visit us. The key is having a whole heart and seeking Him. So the blessing in Jabez's life, was nothing more than the presence of God in his life. The presence of God. That was the blessing of God. We talked about all of the extra bits and pieces about enlarging his territory and taking sorrow from him, but the actual blessing of God in his life is God himself. And if we hear in Jeremiah, he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And then Matthew says also, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And Luke says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So we believe that the Bible is truth. God's word is a promise to his people, that's us. So when he says, if you seek me with a whole heart, what will be the response? You will find him. We talk about the people who are successful at uni. Sometimes we struggle. I know I did when I was at uni. I put so much effort into it. And some people who put very little effort into it were so successful. It's the same at work. Some people do really well. They put in, you know, they just have what it takes. And for example, also another example is people who are new to the faith. They seem to have a life or a flavor which, when we look and we think, well, why can't we have that? That feeling that we're bouncing off the wall with God. And the key there is they're passionate. So the guy at work, while he doesn't know everything, he's passionate. And he gets things done. The guy at uni, or the girl at uni who you look at and you think, how can you be so good? Because they're passionate, they're keen, they're interested. And the same thing when it comes to our spiritual life. Are we passionate, or is it mediocrity that we've got used to? We're happy to go somewhere in between. We're not passionate about ourselves. So, Jabez, he understands this fact that there's only one God, he should be the center of his world, and he wants to bless everything. But we have to make that first choice to invite God in. Seek and you'll find. So the topic of today was around the blessing. And the way I answered in my mind what that blessing was is really the presence of God. We can't simply say, I want you to bless my life, God, as Jabez did, because Jabez had God in his life, part of his life. So the blessing is a result. So when we say, you know, so-and-so is blessed, is it because they just find favour in God out of nowhere? The answer is no. They live with God. God is the cream in their cake. They have sought God with a whole heart. And when you seek with a whole heart, you'll find it. Pope Shenouda writes, if you love God, you will pray. And if you pray, your love for God will increase. So prayer is a statement of love that we express in words. And from that prayer comes the reward of God in your life, which is blessing itself. So Jabez asks God to bless him. He is passionate. Second, he asks God to enlarge his territory so that he can spread the word of God to the people around him. Third, he prays to God to be with him and stay close to him. How wonderful is that? And then lastly, Jabez asks God to keep him from harm and to be free from pain so that he can be led away from temptation, as we read in the outline of it. So the final question that we have is, so what will we pray about tonight? How do we, when we close the door and we pray in our room, what will we pray about tonight? Are we seeking the things around us, the material things that surround us? Are we seeking blessing, or are we seeking God in our life, the cream in our cake, and then everything else will be added unto us glory be to God forever.
I ask a question, but you're saying the main way to get this blessing is to sort of want God with your whole heart. How do you get, what are some tips where you can aim to get to God with your whole heart or have God's heart? Side prayer.
I started to write that, and then I thought, it's another topic. But firstly, we talked about it briefly, we said you have to be passionate. You have to be passionate. If there's something that you want, you will pursue it. And then secondly, it's immersion. You know, most of us, if not all of us, spent a whole week in Passion Week in church, in some form or another. We were here for morning or evening Baskar, we were here for Good Friday, we were here for Apple Galaxies, we were here for Bright Saturday, and we finished with the Resurrection Mass on Saturday night. If you look back, have you ever spent that much time in your life or in your year that concentrated on your spiritual life? And the answer typically is no way. But when you look back, do you think that that was a very pleasant time in your life? in your year, it was perfect. You wouldn't want it any other way other than to go even deeper. So the problem that we have is that we divide our time, this cake. Sometimes the cake where God is the cream of God is just a little bit thin. And we need to just immerse ourselves. That immersion that we had through Passion Week, we need to immerse ourselves through the year. And I think if we do that, I know if we do that, we will certainly go from strength to strength. And that's for the pre-servants, one class that I help serve in, one of the messages was through Passion Week is the commitments that you make now in Passion Week, don't forget them in 2 weeks after Passion Week. Because you are on a high. And the Lord says, and it says, but he says, we go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Our job, you know, we talk about our spiritual life, it should be on a trajectory up. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't just be hovering around, like a pulse. It should be on a trajectory up. There'll be these things, but the trajectory should be in an upward motion. And so we have to go from strength to strength. If we've done such a great job in Passion Week, immersed ourselves in the Lord and His work, why would we go back to where we were before and be satisfied there?
Does anybody else have any questions?
Yeah.
You started off the talk by saying people tend to pray about more materialistic things. What's the right way of praying? What should we be asking?
Well, there's a perfect verse for it. I think I said it, and I'll say it. This comes to my mind every time when I worry about the things in my life. It says, and if I can't find it quickly, I'll just off the top of my head. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. We try and focus on our world, you know, our sphere of influence. We try and perfect it, idealize it, make it how we want it to be. I want to be successful. I want my family to get on well. You know, I want to do really well at my university, so I've got a fantastic career lined up. But the reality is, if we seek first the kingdom of God, this is where we're going to be. And the kingdom of God is where? The kingdom of God is in you. So if we seek God to be put in our hearts, everything else around us will fall into its own place. If we decide that we want to put everything in its own place in our world, then we'll find that we don't have room for God, because we're so busy juggling these things that I want to get this right that we won't have time to, or won't have the mindset to have God in the midst of it. Any more questions?